Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
You're listening to the Wes and Walker Show.
It's the Charlotte game. Tonight, they take on FAU. And Fitty asked me where my cutoff was. I told him I left it at home.
It's Wes.
But what if I tell you I didn't?
Oh. No, you're not that smooth.
What if I tell you that I'm wearing it right now? Get ready to tailgate at 4:30.
Let's go.
Let's go 49ers!
And Walker.
Yeah, baby!
Ow!
Get off the bus!
Hold on! Hold on! Hold on!
Only on Sports Radio 92.7 FM WFNZ.
I don't know. One more hour to go on Wes and Walker. You're listening to Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ. We have some breaking news. I don't know if we're going to get to the soundbite with Fitty and Foot. That was during a Jersey Mike's exchange, folks. The man is dynamic. Flounder walks into the studio. He hands him the sub and the chips and the drink. And as soon as I say breaking news, Fitty goes to the sounder. One of the more impressive things you've done. Joe Person tweets out that the Panthers are bringing back safety and special teams ace Sam Franklin on a one-year deal. This coming in just 15 minutes ago. He had more about it, saying likely a coincidence this happened the day after NFL owners approved the new kickoff rules, but Sam Franklin is a special teams wizard. Plus, he has some dog traits that Dan Morgan likes. Speaking of which, we're going to have Joe Person on at 2:20. I saw some people write in on the text line. Did I miss Joe? You did not. So stick around. At 2:20, Joe Person will join us, and then we will get his comments on what Dave Canales had to say, what Dan Morgan had to say, and some of the coaches' meetings and GMs speaking with media. I did want to go one more question to you, Wes, before we give Fitty a little more time since we cut it off with visit to the mound. I do like some of the guys that they have on special teams with these new kickoff rules, because if they're going to be more valuable, now you have a little more of a premium on getting talented guys at those positions. Amir Smith-Marset, hell yeah, I'll take him as a returner. Raheem Blackshear. Him too. Both of those guys in the landing zone, that seems smart to me. Sam Franklin, you and I both like, is a depth piece that can fill in as a starter. He's a dog, just like Joe Person said. It feels like they got Sam Franklin himself, folks, right there. He joined us a long time ago, and that's all he said. The interview was done after like 2 seconds. I like some of the guys that they have with these new kickoff rules.
Yeah, I like it too. And as I said, I'm excited to bring that play back into the fold, make it more prominent. Like I said, it can either be a tone setter, it can bring great momentum, or it can turn the tide of a football game, man. So I'm really excited that the kickoff is going to make a comeback.
We took away his visit to the mound segment. It was the first one. We're not off to a great start on the baseball season. We did have a new intro, but we'll give you more visit to the mounds as the season goes on. Because of that, we're actually going to push up the live wire with Joe Person joining us at 2:20. Go ahead and hit it, Fitty. What kind of sound you got?
The east to the west, up north to the down south, live wire's connected.
Meant to tell you guys, went back, isolated my howl and Wes's howl from our howling contest we had last week on the show.
Okay.
Walker, yours was just not very clean because we just started laughing at you like midway through.
I sounded like a senior dog.
So we have the darking, or we have the barking sound bites. Need you to work in a howling so I can play the howls throughout the show, because they're great drops.
Okay.
And so that's my challenge to you, producer to host.
You got it ready?
No, I haven't put them in the system yet.
Okay.
But I isolated them yesterday, wanted to run this by you playing the show on the air. But I think you'd be golden.
Well,
the same reaction, because Wes is how it's perfect.
Well, I'm glad I clarified that. I was about to give you three different howling references in this. All right, we'll do it tomorrow then when we get it ready.
All right, so a piece of sound we did not get back to, or we didn't get to in the 12 o'clock hour, was Dave Canales, who made the rounds yesterday speaking to local and national media. And the first-year head coach of the Panthers says they will compete for the division in 2024.
Runway.
I think we're gonna be competitive for the division this year. And what I'm saying is, if we play good football, if we can get the football right like we believe we can, and we can take care of the football, let the numbers take care of themselves, we'll be in the hunt. We'll be in every single game, which will give us an opportunity to be in the hunt for the division at the end. And if we can play great defense and run it, it'll carry us right into the season.
Now, I know you were going to say, what do you want your coach to say? You want your coach to say you're going to be competitive. But I think, Walker, we're all operating as this is laying the foundation, laying the groundwork for building for the future. But when you look at this division, even with Atlanta being as aggressive as they are, they do have a 35-year-old quarterback. You don't know what Tampa's going to be. And Derek Carr appeared to be broken last year in New Orleans. Do you see a path where Carolina is playing meaningful football in December?
If we could have some type of season in Carolina, such as what we had when Steve Wilks took over and Matt Rhule was fired, then yeah, maybe I was dismissing that earlier in a way I shouldn't have. It doesn't feel like that's something that you should bet on, but maybe that does happen, a strong finish in the second half of the season, once this team starts to learn the offense a little more. And you can even go to Tampa last year. With Dave Canales taking over as the offensive coordinator, I think they were 2-0 to start the season. I think they hit a lull to where we didn't think they'd really be in playoff contention. And then they got hotter as the season went on. And then they won a playoff game. So maybe it takes a little time for everybody to learn the system, especially for such a young quarterback like Bryce Young is. And you have some new players on offense up front. Austin Corbett is going to have to play an entirely different position as of right now. So maybe we need to give them a little bit of time before hopefully they figure this out. But I do think it's fair to say, in your first year, we're going to compete for the division. You didn't say we're going to win it, but we are going to compete for it. And maybe that does happen, that they're playing meaningful football in the last 7 games or so.
Yeah, I mean, as I said, I'm not going to completely put it past the Panthers. I know like a lot of people will, because on average, about half of the playoff teams that made it the previous year do not. And so you just never know what can happen on a year-to-year basis. The Panthers are making a lot of upgrades in the right places. So, you know, I'm going to give the Panthers a puncher's chance, because I believe in Bryce Young, and I think that some of the upgrades that they're making, and also with Ejiro Evero being able to create good defenses without necessarily getting a ton of sacks and without having household names. I'm not saying they're a lock to make the playoffs. I'm just saying I'm not going to completely rule them out.
All right. So Monday, after the first weekend of the tournament, everyone came on the station and planted their ACC flag, and we were demanding respect after we put 4 teams in the Sweet 16. Then Mackenbone brought on Kyle Boone from CBS Sports. Fun fact, his nickname is Strong Jaw. That's what Gary Parrish calls him when he joins the Eye on College Basketball podcast. And let's just say that Strong Jaw pushed back on the notion the ACC deserves respect after, you know, showing up in a positive way in the NCAA tournament.
4 teams in the Sweet 16 out of the ACC, 25%. That's really good. But I would say that just because Clemson and NC State maybe got hot doesn't mean that, you know, like a Wake Forest or a Pitt was worthy of being in the NCAA tournament. I don't think Virginia was worthy of being in the NCAA tournament. So the top of this conference remains strong, but I think the ACC was rightfully critiqued this year for maybe having a little bit of a top-heavy conference. And I get that, you know, maybe they'd be a little bit sensitive that, you know, you get 4 teams in the Sweet 16. It's, hey, look at me. You guys clearly underrated this ACC conference. And maybe there's some truth to that. But I think it's worthy of still giving this league some grip. And I think I would continue to do that despite, you know, some of these top teams. I can't imagine Clemson makes it much longer. Can't imagine NC State makes it much longer. We'll see what happens with North Carolina and Duke. But that's kind of how I feel right now.
Wes, first off, unnecessary shot at your D kids not making the tournament. He didn't have to do that. But you're seeing the John Rothsteins, the Seth Davises, the people that didn't give the ACC their love during the regular season, continue to not give their love now in the postseason despite the league performing well. What is it going to take for the ACC to get their credit for the conference that they are, which is not the best conference in college basketball, but it's not the fifth best power conference either. Like, it's, in my opinion, it's the third best conference in the country.
Well, you know, when people are wrong about opinions, sometimes they're either going to own up to it or they're going to just try to double down because they're embarrassed because they know they're wrong. I mean, in the modern era, nearly half of ACC teams which earned, and that's going back to 1985, nearly half of ACC teams which earned NCAA tournament bids have reached the Sweet 16. And over the last eight tournaments, 49% of ACC NCAA tournament teams have reached the Sweet 16, including a league record six in 2016 and five in 2019. So it's a bankable brand. And that's the reason I'm just not understanding why they continue to fight against it. I get it if you want to go with the year-by-year approach, but we don't do that in a lot of other college sports. We go off the pedigree and what the history of the conference does. And like I said, I always make those parallels to SEC football. That's what a lot of people say in bowl season when your team loses to an SEC team. It could be a middle-of-the-pack one or one that barely got in a bowl. They're going to say it's the SEC. So I think the ACC deserves the same type of reverence in basketball. These guys were just wrong, and then just trying to continue to double down on it. That's why I hope that the ACC teams represent this weekend, and two teams in the Final Four would really make them look silly. I'm not sure that that will happen, but hey, we've seen crazy
there,
things. Yeah,
there'll be one there.
Yeah, man, Clemson or NC State's definitely gonna be able to.
I was waiting for that entire. It's funny. I could see the vision. It feels like I have ESP knowing exactly how that exchange was going to go down between you two. Yeah, there's a couple of things, man. So with Kyle saying that the ACC is top heavy, I've seen that not just from him, but I think Seth Davis said this as well. Maybe even John Rothstein. This seems to be the popular shift as to now this is how we defend our original take as to why the ACC was weak. We didn't hear that they were so top heavy before, but now that we have four teams in the Sweet 16, oh, okay, yeah, you guys were saying they're top heavy. Clemson was a sixth seed in their own conference tournament. Is that still considered the top? Because Pittsburgh was a four seed and they didn't get in. And then you go to a five seed, the five seed in the tournament, that belonged to, I'm still trying to look for it. Wake Forest was a six, or excuse me. Either way, you're seeing what I'm saying. Clemson was not a top four seed in the ACC tournament.
Are brackets hard for you, Walker?
Yeah, they really are. At least
I think they were either fifth. I think they finished fifth. Because that's why I was going to say fifth, because Wake was sixth.
Either way, man. You're trying to say that they're top heavy. And that's not true, because Pittsburgh is a team that you didn't allow in. The other problem with this is it's the selection process as to why you're talking about teams that didn't get in and you're trying to say it's justifiable when it's all opinion that they weren't able to get in. And then there are other signs, too. Just even this year, they were 9-3 against the Big 12 before heading into the NCAA tournament. And then they were 10-3 after NC State beat them, beat Texas Tech in the opening round of 64. So it's not that, oh, okay, we're only justifying the ACC being a good conference because of what they've done post-tournament. There are other signs that we can point to as well. It's not even just this tournament. We've seen it five times where four ACC teams got to the Sweet 16 since 2015. We don't even have to go all the way far back. We've seen it five times in really the last decade. That's what I hate. That's what I hate is that, oh, okay, it's because of the selection process. They didn't allow you in. It was the right call. Okay, you can't justify it because all these teams have had a good tourney run. Well, okay, what happens if we have multiple good tourney runs? What happens if we all the time outperform these other conferences? What if we actually beat some of the conferences that you think are the best in college basketball and have an overwhelming winning record against the other best conference in college basketball like the Big 12? There are plenty of signs to point to, and that's why I disagree with Kyle Boone and Seth Davis and John Rothstein and everybody still trying to down the ACC. That'll do it for the Live Wire. We have Joe Person from The Athletic to talk about the Carolina Panthers offseason. Coming up next at Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
McDonald's is not new to chicken. So maybe stop questioning their chicken cred and get your hands on the McCrispy. Juicy fried chicken, buttery bun, unmatched pickle to chicken ratio. Yeah, they know what they're doing. In fact, we can honestly say they're not new to chicken. They're true to chicken. The McCrispy. Only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Wes, I hate it when I have a good point, I'm about to roll. Kyle Boone is about to rue the day that he pushed back on all the ACC hope and victory lap, and I screw it up not being able to figure out who was the 5 and the 6 seed, and I stumble out of the gate and I finish dead last in the race. Sometimes it happens, but it still hurts every single time that it does. Wake was the 5 seed. Clemson was the 6 seed. Thank you to everybody writing me on the text line. I apologize. I could not be that warrior for the ACC against Kyle Boone. Thank you for texting. The FanDuel text line is 704-570-9610. And now let's head to the Body Works Plus guest hotline and welcome Joe Person, covering the Carolina Panthers well, as he always does. You can follow him on Twitter at Joseph Person and go to The Athletic and read the latest articles. He's covering everything with Dave Canales, Dan Morgan, speaking to the media about all of the things they've done this offseason. Joe, we appreciate the time, man. How are you?
I'm good. How y'all doing?
And we're doing well, Joe. We got a lot to catch up on. So let's get started just with what Dave Canales has talked about and really how we've gotten to know him. Like, we got to know Dave Canales when he was introduced as the head coach, a little more at the combine, now more so at coaches' meetings and breakfasts. What kind of impression is he leaving in your mind, Joe, as we get to know him a little bit more, just for you and maybe the rest of the NFL getting to know him?
Yeah, a lot of energy, a lot of optimism, and that was really kind of a hallmark we saw with him, even at his introductory press conference. And I think a lot of that, not that he wasn't wired this way already, but I think working for Pete Carroll for as long as he did, 13, 14 seasons. It just, I think that rubs off on your coaching style. And Pete Carroll, even into like 69, 70 years old, we'd see him, those clips from the Seahawks practice field where he's running around and chewing gum and just looking like a guy who was about 20 years younger than he was or is. And so I think a lot of that is Dave Canales' makeup. And obviously, he's got a lot more. I mean, this is just what I'm talking about, his personality. I mean, from a football perspective, we heard him yesterday. The thing I found most interesting at the owners' meetings that he talked about was his kind of approach to getting to know Bryce Young. I wrote about it for the Athletic. I kind of turned it into a column. But he's not going to just like jump in and say, okay, we got to fix your footwork and we got to get you deeper on drops. Even though both those things might be true, he wants to get to know him on a personal level. And all coaches are like this, but Dave Canales, you kind of stop and listen to, because he's had a pretty terrific track record, especially with quarterbacks and especially, getting quarterbacks to have their best seasons under his watch.
Well, yeah, what else stuck out to you about that conversation, Joe? You did write about it. What else stuck out to you about Dave Canales and how he views Bryce Young, the quarterback, and what he has to do to improve his game?
So this was twice now that in this offseason in public settings, really is only two public comments, one at the Combine and then this week down in Orlando. And both times he kind of pulled the curtain back a little bit, which I found pretty fascinating. At the Combine, you'll remember, he was talking about just getting the ball out of Bryce's hands quickly. And I mean, he was very specific. I don't have the numbers in front of me. But it was like, if it's the third read, we want that to happen within like 2.7 seconds. If it's a slant or if it's something quick, 1.7. And it just really fascinating stuff, and the idea being is they don't want Bryce Young sitting and patting the ball and just sitting and sitting and sitting in the pocket, which we saw sometimes last year. And that's not only a knock on Bryce, maybe more so, kind of an indictment of what the former staff was trying to do with them. A lot of traditional kind of, they ran some pistol, but even when they run the pistol, a lot of times it was slower developing plays, which was not a great recipe for, that offensive line, especially when the guards got hurt. But, I would say that from the combine. And then, like I say, yesterday wasn't so much about X's and O's with Canales. I just thought it was some neat insights into how he approaches the coach-quarterback relationship.
Joe Person joins us on the Body Works Plus guest hotline. You can follow him on X or Twitter at Joseph Person. Joe, what's your opinion on the manner in which the Carolina Panthers have attacked this offseason, and how does it compare to you against other offseasons?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, and for whatever it's worth, I did a report card on that very question and a couple, 10 days ago or so. And overall, I gave them a B-. The Brian Burns trade kind of weighed them down just because I thought they could have gotten a little more in return from him for him. And some of that, Dan Morgan was Scott Fitter's second command, as you guys know. And that it's easy to go back now and say they should have pulled the trigger when the Rams offered so much. Well, they should have. And there were some people in the building that, were encouraging Fitter to do so. But Tepper and Fitter and, to a lesser extent, Dan Morgan, they held on to him. But at any rate, so Morgan did the best he could, I think, under the circumstances. It had sort of reached loggerheads with the agent and the Panthers front office, even with this new regime. I just think at that point, Todd France, the agent, and Burns were looking for a fresh start, and so they get it. The rest of the moves, I kind of like them. I kind of like the idea of following or at least kind of patterning the Saints old model of how they protected a shorter quarterback in Drew Brees, and that was spend some money and fortify the interior line, which, as you guys know, was a big problem last year when those starters went out. And so it's $100 million is a lot of money to spend on a guard, but I thought Robert Hunt was the best pass protector among the free agent guards in this class, and really I don't think it was close. I mean, he is just a beast in terms of keeping people off of Tua when he was in Miami, and hopefully stays healthy and does the same here for Bryce. So I like those moves at guard. You obviously still got to have Icky get back to his rookie form, and then the defensive moves on the defensive side of the ball. Getting guys with ties to Ajero Evero makes a lot of sense. I mean, I would have liked to have seen them when they lost Frankie Luba. I would have liked to have seen him sign Patrick Queen. They were in on Patrick Queen, didn't get it done. He goes to Pittsburgh. They got Josie Jewell from Denver, who knows Ajero. That was fine. I don't think he's as good a player as Patrick Queen, but it makes a lot of sense getting guys in their late 20s, kind of their first free agent deal, who know this staff, particularly Avero.
Joe, the Panthers have reportedly arranged a top 30 meeting with Texas running back Jonathan Brooks. Do you think that there's any chance that they spend some draft capital on a running back early or late?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we've heard Dave Canales in no uncertain terms say that he is almost stubborn when it comes to sticking with the running game. He did that at Tampa last year when, frankly, they weren't very good at running the football, and he felt like it served a purpose, that it kind of loosened defenses up, and it helped Baker Mayfield, even though they weren't necessarily getting big chunks and gashing defenses with that running game. He is a believer in having having a mix there and staying committed to the run game. So he may look at this current roster, the current stable of backs, if you will, and think they could do better and add somebody that maybe is a better fit for what he wants to do. So that wouldn't surprise me. You know, I would be surprised if they, I guess, if they drafted one in the second round before they draft a wide receiver. I just think, you know, they've upgraded there a little bit with Deontay Johnson, but there's more work to do there and near or at the top of the second round if they choose to trade down out of 33. And even at 39, I think you get a pretty good day one starter at wide receiver in among this group. So I'm okay with a running back, but not before a wide receiver.
So to piggyback off of that one, with a potential wide receiver selection, which they've been linked to that with their first pick at 33, is that due to them being a little bit leery of Jonathan Mingo and where he is, or they just want to continue to bolster that wide receiving core?
Yeah, I think a little bit of both. I mean, I do think that there were some concerns, among, a bunch of people in the building that Mingo was just not, he showed up raw last year out of Ole Miss. I would have thought they would have seen that on tape, but, they take him pretty high in the second round, and he was just, in terms of route running, he was unpolished. You know, there were some balls, I've had some people point out certain plays from certain games. I think one that we've even talked about before was the Chicago game where Bryce threw a pretty nice deep ball. And if Mingo hadn't kind of gotten a little off track on his route, it's probably a really sizable catch in a fairly close ball game. But, I don't think they haven't given up on him yet, not by any stretch, but I do think that is a position where they want to continue to add and continue. I mean, we heard Dan Morgan say it at the combine, that they need playmakers at that position, and I'd be shocked if they don't do something in the draft early on that second day.
Talking Panthers with Joe Person of The Athletic on the Body Works Plus guest hotline. Something else Dan Morgan said, Joe, was that J.C. Horn's fifth-year option has not been picked up yet, so they haven't made a decision on that. Are you surprised that they seem so hesitant on picking up that fifth-year option for a first-round pick that, when on the field, is pretty good?
Yeah, not really. That may have been a case of still, I mean, that decision's another month and a half away, and maybe Morgan just didn't want to put it out there publicly quite yet. But I would think that's the direction this is headed. I mean, it's and I know it is a big caveat, if and when he's healthy, he's a very good corner and physical presence and all that. And you just look around the league, and I think that number's around $12 million for his fifth year pickup. And I mean, not that that's paltry, but if you get a healthy J.C. Horn, even if he plays, say, 14 games instead of 17, I think that is a fairly straightforward decision from where I'm concerned. But yeah, I was, to answer your question, I was a little surprised that he didn't put it out there this week when I asked him about that. But I think that's where this is headed.
Joe, you wrote about Jadeveon Clowney, the sweepstakes surrounding him, Carolina, the Jets also interested in landing the edge rusher. You said it too in your tweet promoting your column. If they can't land Jadeveon Clowney, it's slim pickings out there. How important is it for them to land somebody of Clowney stature? And if they don't, what's plan B?
Yeah, it's very important. I mean, and I almost took that column a different direction. I mean, because we all saw this a similar thing play out last summer where Frank Reich and Scott Fitter went out and got one of Reich's guys in Justin Houston, who proceeded to just steal $6 million from the organization. First of all, Clowney's 3 years younger than Houston was last year. I think the track record, I mean, Justin Houston had a track record too. So I just think that Clowney, you really hope that he went and did the thing last year in Baltimore where he wanted to try to win a Super Bowl. He took way less money to do it, and he proved it. You know, it was, if it was a prove-it deal, he proved that he could still do it at 31 years old. I think he's going to, from everything I've been told, he wants to get paid this year. And I think the paycheck's probably more important than necessarily going to a place that is ready to win a Super Bowl, which helps you if you're Carolina. You just hope that it's not a case where, you know, the injury bug bites him, you know, at 31, as I said. But I've asked somebody this week, did they think it was, you know, important? We all make, and especially in the media, where I think we're all guilty of like, oh, come play in your hometown. And sometimes you find out the players don't really care about that. But I asked that question, and I was told, yeah, Clowney actually thinks that would be kind of cool toward the end of his career. So we'll see. But plan B, I don't know. I don't think it's going to – I mentioned a couple guys in that column with ties, in Jerry Hughes' case, ties to Buffalo and when Morgan was there, and then – in the case of Randy Gregory, he was in Denver for a year with the Jarrow. I was pointing out, do not shop hungry for guys like that. And I don't think they will. There's probably some younger guys. I mean, I'm interested in Hassan Reddick too, because these guys know him. They know the kind of player he is. I mean, I know Fitter, you know, was the guy, and Matt Rule were running things back then, but Dan Morgan was around. And so, I'm not ready to completely shut the door on that yet, but I do think the fact that Hassan Reddick has made it clear he wants to be among the higher paid edge rushers, when this team just went through that with Burns, or this front office did, think that could complicate things if they wanted to go down the Hassan Reddick trade route.
Well, and last thing I'll ask you here, Joe, it's Stephon Gilmore, also a potential come home candidate. You're mentioning Hassan Reddick, both guys, former Panthers. Is there any bad blood in the way that the Panthers operated in letting those guys go, not prioritizing them and instead prioritizing other players? Or does money just make everyone forget all about that and they can come together once more?
I think money makes everyone a little happier. honestly, I mean, and Reddick, here we are talking about the hometown thing again. I've read comments from him that he thought it was pretty cool. He got to go play in Philly, where he grew up, just across the river in Camden, New Jersey. Gilmore left here and made some more money at Indy and in Dallas, and has played well. So, no, I don't think so. I mean, it'd be different if they felt like they were somehow really grossly disrespected, but I don't get the impression that's the case.
That's Joe Person joining us on the Body Works Plus guest hotline. Always great stuff. Make sure you read his column, it's necessary as a Panthers fan, on Twitter at Joseph Person, and make sure you subscribe to The Athletic to make sure you are getting all of your Panthers coverage. Joe, we always appreciate it, man. Thanks again.
Thanks, Joe.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
No doubt.
It's good stuff. We got a lot of good comments from Joe Person. We'll go to break. We got the walk-off for you before we end today's show. But before all of that, we have one last Tournament Central update.
Tournament Central on Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ is driven by Fred Caldwell Chevrolet, home of the Silverado guys.
All right, so we talked about Pat Kelsey getting the Louisville job. We talked about some of the transfer portal stuff going on with Charlotte. Did not talk about John Calipari returning to Kentucky. I was under the impression he had done enough to be fired, but he's being brought back. What do you guys make of John returning to coach Big Blue Nation?
I think it was the right move. I mean, what are you going to do? He gets all of the recruits. We know that he can coach, but I think he's just running into issues. A lot of coaches will, when they are getting their bread and butter primarily off of one-and-done freshmen. So is he going to change up his approach to recruiting a little bit? Maybe mix in a few more veteran guys out of the portal? We shall see. But I think this is going to be a big year for him. I think the seat is going to start to warm up. I think if he has another disappointing outcome this coming season, then I think that they will choose to move on from him. But as far as this season, Like I said, he's just so adored in the recruiting community, and he gets the best of the best guys. So how can you turn that down? What can you bring in that's going to necessarily be better than him in that regard?
And I usually hate that mindset. Oh, well, nobody's going to do better than this guy, so let's just not even find out. But this is Calipari we're talking about. It's not like you have someone, for instance, if we did the Brad Brownell discussion and they didn't go on the Sweet 16 run, let's say they get beat by New Mexico or they win the game they're supposed to and then lose in the round of 32 and they get beat like 15 by Baylor, which was totally possible. You could have that same convo about Clemson. Oh, well, how much better can they really get? They got them to a Sweet 16 beforehand. They make the NCAA tournament every couple of years. Do you really think you're going to do a lot better than that? Let's not have this kind of false hope about what this program truly is. For sure, you could have justified firing John Calipari for being exited from the tournament in the first round two of the last 3 years. No doubt about it. But what I'll say is that guy also does have a championship. I think that goes a long way. You have another championship appearance, even if it was a long time ago. I think that does go a long way. And at the end, you still are bringing in a ton of talent. It's not like this guy is void of talent. It's what he does with it. But you know what's worse? It's not having the talent to begin with and then just missing out on the NCAA tournament altogether, which might even be possible, especially if we think the SEC is a good conference in basketball. I think it's the right move. If it happens again, then maybe Kentucky decides to move on. One more segment to go. Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
McDonald's is not new to chicken. So maybe stop questioning their chicken cred and get your hands on the McCrispy. Juicy fried chicken, buttery bun, unmatched pickle to chicken ratio. Yeah, they know what they're doing. In fact, we can honestly say they're not new to chicken. They're true to chicken. The McCrispy. Only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Are you challenging me to a walk-off?
Oh, yeah. That's a walk-off challenge, my friend.
It's a walk-off. It's a walk-off.
Wesson Walker Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ. Video I barely remembered, but I just now remembered.
You know what?
You forgot, didn't you?
I forgot too, Walt.
That's okay. That's okay. We're in it together, and we still have about 7 minutes left of show. You want to go 10th texter?
Yeah, let me get your information for you before you give away the ticket.
All right, let's hear the information. What kind of information do we have on the Charlotte Hornets tickets that we're going to be giving away? Fitty is looking that up as we speak. We don't have leftover takes either, so we're continuing to stall until he finds it, and he just found the info. Fitty, what you got?
All right. I need the 10th texter to text me Curry, C-U-R-R-Y.
Whoa.
To get two tickets to see the Hornets take on the Warriors this Friday, 7 p.m. at Spectrum. 10th texter, the texting Curry, C-U-R-R-Y. You'll be in the building to see Steph and the Warriors play the Bugs.
Better not let that autofill hurt you with misspelling Curry, because if you do, somebody else is going to beat you to it. And you also have to beat me, because I want those tickets too. I'd like to go as a member, as a fan base, instead of as the media. And boom, there they come in. They are already done. If you have not texted in yet, I'm just telling you right now, there's so many of the people that want those tickets. That's a big one. So, yeah, I'm glad that we could help you guys out.
How come they don't have to text Melo, M-E-L-O?
Well, he ain't playing.
He's not about to say. Yeah, we all went there.
Should have had to text in ankles.
Yeah. Oh,
God. Braces, B-R-A-C-E-S.
There is a conversation to be had there, by the way. I don't think we could fit it into the schedule today, but the fact that the Hornets are continuing to put out injury reports every single game that says LaMelo is out, Mark Williams is out, instead of just letting us know that they might be out for the rest of the season. I'm trying to figure out if that means they think there's a real shot that one of them comes back before season's end, or if they're just not telling us that they really are out for the year. It's not like there's any gamesmanship that could be going on. It's not like they're trying to hide anything from opponents that are here to beat up on the Hornets. And then, you know, it's not like the Hornets are going to get to the play-in or the playoff. I just don't know the strategy behind not letting us know if they are really out for the rest of the year. I don't know. So they continue to do it. Maybe we talk about that a little bit tomorrow. Let's go with our random question of the day instead of the leftover topics.
What do you want? What do you want?
It's not that simple.
What do you want?
I got a sports one. Not so random. If you have one, feel free to tell us as well. But here's one piggybacking off of what Joe Person had to say in our last segment. What former Panther would you like to have more if you're a Carolina Panther fan? Stephon Gilmore at his price in free agency, or Hassan Reddick at his price through a trade market? What you think, Wes?
It would be Hassan Reddick. No question about it. Pass rush is the key to a defense. You can have all the DBs you want back there, but if you can't get pressure on the quarterback, it won't matter. So give me a guy that's going to provide that pass rush. I take Hassan Reddick.
Even with trade capital and paying him close to Brian Burns money?
Oh!
Well, because it's at their price. That's what I said. So, I mean...
You said at that price, yeah, because I don't know what his price is.
Well, but he's going to be asking for a lot.
Okay, well, then in that case, that changes my answer, Stephon.
I figured. Yeah. I said at that price, but no, I hear you. That's why I wanted to just double down and make sure that's what you meant, because I agree. I would go with Stephon Gilmore. As much as I want somebody to help rush the passer, for sure, Hassan Reddick is also, how old is he now? I mean, he's starting to get up there a little bit more in age.
I got you. Hassan Reddick is 29 years old.
So, okay, he's close to 30. Stephon Gilmore, clearly older.
His current market value says $15.8
million. Yeah, he's going to want more. Now, maybe he just doesn't get it. And maybe you end up compromising on something like $20 million. Does that change your answer from Gilmore? Or are you still rolling with Stephon Gilmore, even if Hassan is making 20? And you're also trying to think of draft capital, too.
If you're paying him 20, yeah, all right. So, yeah, I mean...
It's hard to go there for
Depends
me.
Depends on how much draft capital we talk. And I do think Hassan is a guy because, like, they have his market value sitting at a three-year deal. I think that would be reasonable for a man his age. And when you look at the production that he's put up, so last year he had 11 sacks. I don't know, man. The last four seasons he's been double-digit sacks, 11 sacks last year, 16, 11, and 12.5 for a guy that you could have him potentially for 3-4 years. Yeah, I'd do it.
The only thing about Hassan, if you went through all of this headache with Brian Burns because you didn't want to pay him, if you end up at 20, that's a significant difference from the 30 that Burns was asking for. But also, do you just find a new way to put weight on the scale instead of it being $10 million a year? Now you're talking about draft capital. Maybe that all evens out. The other thing is, if we are so worried about Brian Burns stopping the run, well, Hassan is little. He's 6'1", 240. So how comfortable do we feel about him stopping the run if we didn't like the way that Brian Burns was able to stop the run? And so his run defense was a 64 grade. It's not terrible. So maybe you do feel okay about it, but it's also not great. I'm still going Gilmore. As much as I just advocated for signing a Clowney, it's because you can get him in free agency at something even less than that and be respectable.
Bargain shopper you are.
That's a lot for Reddick. I would love it if we were at a different phase. Cool. But that's a lot for Reddick, especially after the Burns headache. I'm still going after Stephon Gilmore. All right. Who wins the tickets? Fitty, can you let us know? Were you able to count it up yet, or do you have too many to count through?
It's our guy, Herman Photography.
Oh, look at you. Good for you, Herman. Nice job texting in, because there was a flurry of text.
Yeah, it was a lot.
There was a flurry of curries, if you will, that hit in on the FanDuel text line.
Pretty good.
Can you play the drums for me? You play the drums for your whack jokes all the time. Give me something here, man.
Ba-dum-boom.
Thank you. Appreciate everybody writing in. Maybe we get to one more. What are we watching tonight? Go ahead and hit that video as well.
All I want to know if you got your popcorn ready. Do you got your popcorn ready?
You got anything in store tonight? You doing any TV shows? Fitty, we can start with you. What you got on the docket?
Yeah, let's see. What did I watch last night? Last Man Standing, Reba. Monday night was a rerun of The Office. No baseball tonight. Baseball news. Brewers, Mets postponed. Braves, Phillies postponed tomorrow. Their opening game will be played on Friday. I don't know what I'm going to watch. It's why I love baseball, because starting tomorrow, I think it's all.
You're going to have that.
You're going to have good nap material for the next 6-7 months.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, did I say that out loud?
And see, I thought you were really starting to. You asked for my password and my login so you could watch MLB.TV at your house.
Major cap.
And 3 hours later.
Yep. It's a great nap sport. You'll
be sleeping like Wake Forest basketball.
You can go to sleep, man, and wake up, and it'll just be the sixth inning if you go to sleep in the first inning.
I like the insults. Do you have anything on the docket for tonight?
Yeah, man. Wednesday night, Dynamite, baby, AEW. I know we wanted to get to it at the beginning of the show. Raw was crazy. I know I'm a little late, but, I mean, Cody Rhodes got taken outside in the rain by The Rock. We had blood. We had cursing.
Oh.
I mean, they're getting back to the Attitude Era. I know my wrestling fans out there had to be excited. I'm sitting there watching. I said, oh, man, we hadn't gotten anything like this on WWE in a while. So, man, WrestleMania is about to be insane. And tonight I will be watching AEW Wednesday night Dynamite. Boom.
Miguel from Charlotte texted, and you should watch X-Men 97 tonight. I might have to check that
you
out.
You should.
Because
that
you
should be something you
fire.
Should do. It is absolute fire.
Loved the X-Men as a kid, so I might have to check that out, because outside of that, there ain't none to watch.
Yeah, there's not a ton. All right, that'll do it for Wes and Walker. Thanks for joining us every day from 12 to 3. Keep it right here for the Kyle Bailey Show, of course, alongside Smoke Ludwig. You're listening to Sports Radio 92.7 FM.